Father, this is your day, new day, new dawning. I'm asking you, Father God, as I looked around the sanctuary, that you meet each and every need here this morning. Show yourself strong on their behalf. And Father God, I thank that the Holy Spirit is here in all of its glory, and that your words are going to be spoken and what you want done is going to be accomplished. Let us rise up this day, Father God, from the sin and degradation that we walked in all week. And let us rise up into the third heaven and be seated with you, Father. Be changed, be rearranged. And Father, I thank you for all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. The world's getting worse. But God's getting stronger. That's what you have to look at. Yes, the world is a mess. But God said when all the gross darkness is around, his glory is going to be stronger than the darkness. So don't look at what's going on around about you. Just keep reminding yourself that God is greater. And his glory is coming in all of its fullness. And he's going to manifest himself in a mighty way. You know, even if you never, ever, ever get everything that God has promised you, that doesn't mean that God isn't God. Just does not mean that. You know, sometimes, you know, in the Bible it says that the people that waited to see Jesus died and never saw him. But he still came. And we never know what God is doing in our lives. We just have to trust and believe in him and know that he knows everything about us. And that he is in full, total, and complete control of everything about us. We know that the enemy is trying to steal our children right now. He isn't trying, he's just doing a very good job of it. Sometimes it's the parents' fault because they're not praying, and other times it's nobody's fault. The enemy is just, he's bound and determined to destroy this generation because this is a generation that God is going to use to do the great and powerful works that he's going to do. And you older people are the ones that he wants you to stay with him in his goodness so that you can help lead, guide, and direct these younger people who are going to come in so excited for God that, you know, they just might go off course in all their excitement. And, you know, we all need somebody older than us to lead, guide, and direct us to keep us on the path that we should go. So, everybody needs to understand that whatever God's spoken over your life, that's really and truly what he wants to do with you. Now, it's up to you whether or not you allow him to do it. All right, God isn't going to stop your calling. You stop your own calling. And I say that because I'm seeing a lot of that right now. People just played God one day too long, and now it's too late. You read about it. And so don't you be one of those that played God one day too long and you lost everything. Are you listening? You might think you have another week, another year, whatever, but you don't. You have to get it together now. If you don't get it together now, then you're not going to get it together. There's just a whole lot going on. I've been reading about false prophets on the scene right now. And I was talking to Brother Brett, I think it was yesterday, and we have to be very careful about being prophetic because pride can enter in there, and then the enemy will enter in there because the enemy knows about you too, and the enemy can speak the truth through you, through somebody who thinks they're prophesying from God and they're really prophesying through the demonic realm. Now, when God called me, I didn't know what a prophet was, but God used me to prophesy. But in all the years I've been doing it, I can tell you right now, I can't sit and prophesy to 15 people at one time. I mean, you know, I don't know where the people that can do that, I don't know where that comes from. I've been in the churches, you know, where I'll say 200-300 people, I might prophesy to 5. But all everybody else wanted a word too. So if I was you, I'd really check myself really, really close. Who am I prophesying? Who's prophesying through me? God, the Holy Spirit, or has the demonic realm step over into my pride, and it's the demonic realm that's prophesying to the people? I don't care how many people want a prophetic word. That doesn't mean everybody gets a prophetic word. If you're really hearing from God, only the ones that God wants to speak to at that given time will get a word. I've sat here, I'm talking about this because it's really out there right now. There's just a whole lot of this going on. I've sat here and I know that you want a word, but God isn't speaking anything to me, so I can't give you a word. But I know people can sit here and just give word after word after word, anywhere, word after word after word. And I'm just wondering where that comes from. I've been questioning this because none of you want to be a false prophet, do you? Then I would check myself and see if I just automatically just start prophesying to as many people as prophesying to. I check myself and see where is this truly coming from. All right. I know when I first started, I'd go to the churches around here, and when they found out that when I prophesied, I told them their life history. One night I was till 2 o'clock in the morning prophesying, but that was a whole different scene. I was just first on the scene, and God wanted to know that there were prophets. And but he, then after a little bit, not even a couple months, he quit using me that way. I would prophesy, but not to everybody they brought into the room. Are you understanding this? Please don't get off course and be used by the enemy to prophesy. I didn't know it was so prevalent out there, but it really is. And they're actually calling out some of the prophets. And the ones are calling out, some of the ones are calling out to bring the ban. I've had my question, is this really God, what they're doing, what they're saying? And I read an article yesterday where it explained that no, it wasn't. So see, if you're really walking in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will let you know who is in the Spirit and who is not, or if you yourself are in the Spirit or if you're not. I would rather not prophesy at all than prophesy, have the devil use me to prophesy. Are you listening here? I know somebody that can. I know a couple of people that can prophesy, and I said, God, they're not really living for you. And he said, they're working out of the psychic realm. And I know people are living for God who are working out of the psychic realm. I'm throwing this out here so that you can check yourself, because this is something that's very, very important right now. And these false prophets are going into the churches, and yes, they are telling the people the truth because the enemy knows you too. But what's happening in the long run is they're getting you to give them money for the words that they're receiving. They want to live off of that. Please don't be one of those. Wouldn't it be terrible if you thought you was all right and you died and stood before God and he would say, depart from me, because you gave false prophetic words to people? And never, ever, ever prophesy to somebody that you know their life, because what you do then is you prophesy out of what you know and not what God wants to say. All right? I know one time I knew something about Brother Brad, and I knew he wanted a word, and I was actually getting a word, but I wouldn't give the word because I knew something about him. And I didn't want it to be me giving him a word out of my flesh. Are you understand what I'm saying? I did later on talk to him about it though, and but I would not give a. I said, God, I say, God, don't use me, and he won't. He just won't. If you think that you're going to do something wrong, or you know something about somebody, and that's what keeps coming up, then your best bet is say, God, don't use me, because I don't want to destroy this person. All right. Sometimes I ask Brother Allen to prophesy. He stands there and he sort of looks around, and I said, why do you do these? Because I'm not hearing anything right away. And he said, I have to wait till I hear from God. And then when he hears from God, then he gives it. And I listen to what he says, and it's always right on. See, so he doesn't mind standing there until he hears God's voice. But if I ever say to you, God, you have a word for this person, you truly do have a word for them, because God just doesn't do that, all right? He doesn't put you up there where you get embarrassed or embarrass God. And I won't ever tell you God has a word for you unless God tells me that you have a word for somebody. And I don't think you should be a person that you go into somebody else's church and start prophesying over the people in the church. You know, God didn't make you the pastor there. He didn't make you the prophet there. And if you think you have to go there and do that, then there's something wrong somewhere. Because, all right, just so I'm a prophet, let's just use me as an example. Why would God send somebody else in to prophesy to the people? You know. So I just want you to think all this stuff. This is all a learning curve right now. And the devil's really gotten into the prophetic, and he's really twisting it. And what better way for him to have a highway into taking the people to hell than prophesying to them something he wants them to hear so it will destroy them. All right, let's talk about conquering your season. This is John Ramirez's teaching out of his book. He says, we have the tendency to believe the devil and his lies about a new day or new year. Why not believe God instead for a new you? Not a new day or new year, but a new you. How many of you have been asking God, God, change me, rearrange me, make me who you want me to be, not who somebody else wants me to be or who I want to be. Make me what you want me to be. And let me be, I'm hearing God say, you should ask him always, let me be a vessel of honor for you to work through. John said, it is not the ticking of your watch that brings change. God is not saying that if you pass this particular date, then all things will become new in your calendar of life or you will have his blessings. All right, so we say, what he's saying here is, you'll say, okay, on the 30th of July, my life's going to change. That's not God, is what he's saying. The devil wants to play us. And how many of you know the devil is playing you? If you don't, get your eyes open, because he's playing everybody right now. God wants to teach us that change does not come easily. How many of you know that? Change does not come easily. The fake church, the house of Satan, never stops tempting believers to take up his offer of a microwave church, which promises that if we just fast for 10 minutes, or drench ourselves in olive oil, or shout out loud to grab it and claim it, or practice 5 easy ways to our victory, or 3 jump starts to a new life, then somehow we will be transformed easily and quickly. All right, how about, I don't know if they still do it because I don't watch, but it used to be the television ministries. They would say, if you send me $1,000, God's going to do this in your life. And do you know how many gullible people do that? You know? Truth be told, the only way that we will be transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ is if we allow the Holy Spirit to disciple and discipline us. Read that again, Brett. Truth be told, the only way that we will be transformed into the likeness of Jesus Christ is if we allow the Holy Spirit to disciple, discipline, and disciple us. The Holy Spirit wants to teach you and me how to discipline our minds. How many of you have been having trouble with your mind lately? It's just going crazy, isn't it? I think I've never had as much trouble with my mind as what I'm having right now. It wants to think all stupid things, you know? So we have to discipline our, how many of you say, mind, straighten up. Smack yourself in the forehead or something, you know? He wants to remove from us the thinking of a carnal mind, you know, God does, which leads to carnal decisions. God wants to remove from us the thinking of a carnal mind, which leads to carnal decisions. Now that we understand what God is trying to show us and teach us, we need to stay focused on it. What's he trying to show us right now and teach us? Holiness, righteousness. Holiness, righteousness. And this is what we need to focus on. And the devil put all kind of junk in your head. But, you know, you can't dwell on the junk. You have to dwell on what God has called us to do. He wants to fortify you mentally, emotionally, and spiritually to make you spiritually stronger against the onslaught of the enemy. God wants to fortify you mentally, emotionally, and spiritually to make you spiritually stronger against the onslaught of the enemy. Then, when the demonic storms come, you're able to stand firm, build up into a spiritual house for Him. You see that? You know, we have to do the before we get to the then. And if we don't do what He wants us to do before that, we're never going to get to the then. And we're going to stay messed up. The Lord is not interested in church buildings. He wants to impart to you spiritual resistance against the enemy of your soul and his demons. Spiritual resistance. In other words, when the enemy comes to tempt you, don't open the door. Just, you're not home, because your mind is the mind of Christ, and all you're thinking on is the things of Christ, holiness, righteousness. All right, James 4:7 says, therefore, submit to God. This is where we miss it. We never submit to God. Devil, I'm going to resist you in the name of Jesus, but you're not submitted to God, and He doesn't have to pay attention to anything you say. If you get that down in your spirit this morning, you'll find out you're going to win more battles than lose. So James 4:7 says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. How many of you really have your, this is what I'm going through right now. I go to pray, and immediately I pray wrong. And I know I pray wrong, so I have to resist the devil. You know, you get out of my mind, get out of my thought. You know, I'm going to pray the way I'm supposed to be praying. And I'm trying to take a situation to the courtrooms, and I can't get the words courtroom out of my mouth. I'm still down here in the lower level. So then I have to claim that I'm a child of God. My mind is whole and pure, and I only think on the things of God. And then I start praying again. Then it comes out. But beginning, and this has been happening to me for the last 3 days, but in the beginning, the devil wants to get me all confused so I don't pray and pray properly. Because God's been telling us to take everything to the courtrooms of heaven. And that's where He wants us to pray from the courtrooms of heaven. All right, you need to stay strong in dark seasons. Those times when the unexpected shows up or you cannot see the light out of a tunnel are called dark seasons. You must stay strong in the fight mentally, spiritually, and emotionally. You must stay strong in the fight mentally, spiritually, and emotionally. I can't think of her name right now, but years ago when, you know, the Holy Spirit was teaching me things, nobody else would teach me anything, and I was going through all these dark, what I didn't know were called dark seasons, and I thought, God, what is going on in my life? And one day, this woman's article popped up on my computer. It just didn't pop up, you know, the Holy Spirit put it there. And her whole ministry is about the dark seasons. And I read that, and it enlightened me, just taught me so much. And then I knew how to fight the enemy because I didn't know what I was in because I was new in this. And I found out the devil has me down in a hole and he was trying to keep me there so I wouldn't go forth and couldn't bring anybody else forth. So some of you might be in a hole today. You're in a dark season. You're pushing and pushing and you can't get out of it. God will bring you out of it. Stay on the course. Don't allow the enemy to stop you. You must stay strong in the fight mentally, spiritually, and emotionally. These are gateways and portals into our man that the enemy is trying to break into. The enemy is trying to break into your inner being so he can stop your growth. These are gateways and portals into, through these spiritual areas, the devil is trying to take you over. Are you listening? God was very, very rough on us Wednesday night, prophetically. Wednesday night, this is Sunday, right? I was totally shocked at what he said, but he was upset, and he said to me, and I'm going to stay upset until two things happen. Either they leave the church or they change. And he's not going to tolerate no more junk. And we all need to understand that. Junk time's over. We, you know, the world out there is... Are you really paying attention to what's going on in the world? You know, we're talking today, and China's trying to take us over. It's just about ready to take us over. And I heard they're playing Chinese music in some mall that they own. And where is America? America, are you there? And I've noticed that I've been reading a lot of articles where people are telling you to please, if you've never put a flag out in your yard, please put a flag out in your yard. You know, and let everybody see that you are for America, not against it. So if you don't have a flag in your yard, maybe you ought to think about it. I don't mean one of them little tiny ones you wave. Flagpole flag. Amen. If you allow the Holy Spirit to disciple and discipline you, the doors of those places will be closed, you know, those places in your mind, and the devil will not have legal rights over you. Remember, the first place the enemy attacks is the mind. We cannot control the thoughts that come into our minds, but we can control the thoughts that dwell in our minds. All right? You know, you can't control what the enemy slides in there real quick, but you can sure get rid of them just as quick. All right, John said, let me teach you something. We can change the colors in our houses by painting the walls, and we can change the name of our ministries. These things can be done quickly. But changing old thinking and old habits or generational things that are in us only comes through discipleship and discipline by the Holy Spirit in our lives. I don't think anybody even thinks about that. Changing old thinking and old habits or generational things that are in us only comes through discipleship and discipline by the Holy Spirit in our lives. Conquering your season involves your thinking, your words, and your spiritual actions. You know, anger keeps trying to dwell in me, in my house. So I have to stop and I have to pray, Holy Spirit, take control of this thing. Get this thing out of me. I don't want this anger to rise up within me. I can do what I have to do without being angry. You see what I'm saying? I don't have to give in to being angry to do something. I can discipline, let the Holy Spirit discipline me where I don't have to talk with an angry voice, but I can speak in the loving grace of God. But I'm going to have to do that. It's my body. It's my voice. I'm going to have to train it. I'm going to have to take command over it. You can't do that for me. You can read all the books in the world, but if I don't apply what I read, I'm never going to be set free, right? Whether the devil has a stronghold in our marriage, our ministry, our job, or our children, we all want transformation. I hope. This is what John's saying. This will involve our thinking, our words, and our spiritual actions. It is not about a day, month, or year that brings transformations. It's all about our actions. I see brothers and sisters year after year stuck in the same places, yet thinking they are accomplishing something. That's what I feel like about this church. I feel like we're in a hole somewhere and can't get out. All right, this is a lie of the devil. It is sad to see believers living their spiritual lives in this condition. When we don't see change, we blame God, get mad at God, and then leave God. Isn't that the way it works? Change is a 180-degree turn. It is time to turn. All you guys are sitting in here, you're making all kind of excuses. There's no more excuses. You have to change yourself. The prodigal, you know, with the whole help of the Holy Spirit. The prodigal son was in the hog pen when a thought suddenly occurred to him and he turned 180 degrees. Let's read that. Luke 15:17. This is a gentleman that was in the hog pen. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will sit out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for the son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. He had a thought, because he was in the pig pen eating the pig slop. And he thought, why am I here when I can have the best of everything if I just go home? It's the same with you. You're in a pigsty if you're in sin. Why are you wallowing with the hogs? Why are you in the slop whenever you can have the very best there is if you go back to God? Or just go to God if you've never been there. So John says, so John, how do I conquer my year or my moment or my season? He says, when you make that 180-degree turn, I promise you, just like the prodigal son, the father will wait for you right down the road, and he will celebrate you at the moment you said no to the devil and yes to King Jesus. This man knows what he's talking about. He served the devil for 25 years, the devil's son. But one day he heard about Jesus, and he said no to the devil and did his 180-degree turn and started serving God. We think that because we took a class or read a book or listened to a sermon, somehow we are changed. You know, what I'm teaching you out of his book, I'm just reading his book, really. But, you know, you can sit here and hear it, but if you don't apply it, it's not going to do you a lick of good. I mean, you know, and I've been in this for a long time, and reading his book, is I've applied what he said in his book to myself. And it's changed my life enormously. Are you understanding this? Do not get me wrong, these things do help, but the spiritual reality is that we are stuck in microwave Christianity. We need the Holy Spirit to teach and discipline us at the core of who we are to bring transformation. We need the Holy Spirit to teach and discipline us at the core of who we are to bring transformation. Your core might be the dirtiest core you've ever seen in your life, you know. And you need that core cleaned and sanctified and made holy before you can be what God wants you to be. Jesus promised in John 14:25, all this I have spoken while still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. And when I first began born again, I had somebody to pay my way through Bible school. But God said, no, I don't want you to go to Bible school because I want my Holy Spirit to teach you. I don't want you to be taught doctrine. Everything I know is through the Holy Spirit, not what man has taught. All right, he said, and then God says, John says, shake off the enemy. It is time to finish the fight against the things that always pull us down. We need to be rooted deeper in Jesus. Saints, if you don't get rooted deeper in Jesus, you're not going to make it. Things every day you think it can't get any worse, and what does it do the next day? Gets worse. God even told us it's going to get darker and darker and darker until there's total gross darkness. He said, but those who follow me will be my light, and I will keep them. So who are you planning on keeping you? The devil's not going to keep you. Are you listening here? It is time. Is that where I'm at? Oh, my screen's not on. It is time to finish the fight against the things that always pull us down. We need to be rooted deeper in Jesus, all right? Let's stop and do a spiritual assessment. Are there things that you have been fighting for days, months, and years? Is there somebody turn that on? There are things that you have been fighting for days, months, and years. Are you listening? Look again at the life of David. He had a Goliath moment, but that was not his true victory. Listen to this. Look again at the life of David, because this, I had to sit and ponder this. He had a Goliath moment, but that was not his true victory. His victory was that he ran from King Saul for 13 years of his life. Isn't that something? That was his battle before he became king and sat on the throne of Israel. In other words, he's saying that killing Goliath was really nothing. It was just a Goliath moment. All right? We should not discount any moment of victory. They are nice to have on our spiritual resumes. Let's look at the life of Peter. He walked with Jesus for 3 years. He even had a moment when he walked on water, but he later betrayed Jesus on dry land. We celebrate the one moment victories, and there is nothing wrong with that. They should be celebrated, but the real battle, the real spiritual warfare fight is that one thing you know the name of, perversion, or drugs or whatever. So he said, we celebrate the one moment victories, and there is nothing wrong with that. They should be celebrated, but the real battle, the real spiritual warfare fight is that one thing you know the name of. You hit it hard, but it keeps coming back to you. It is time to conquer what is in front of you and put it away once and for all. Are you easily offended? You've been that way all your life? That's your battle. You need to get that thing and conquer it and move on. Because until you get rid of that, you're never going to grow in Christ the way you should. Believe me, the enemy is always going to offend you. Always. He's always, if you walk in the spirit of offense, he's always going to put a word, a person, or something in front of you to offend you. Hello? You know, offense is about the dumbest thing you could ever walk in. Dear Lord, it'll keep you bound for years. It's like putting on a corset. Just has everything all tied up. Get rid of, tell the devil, tell the spirit of offense to get out of your life and tell it to stay gone. I'm serious. That is what's binding a lot of Christians up, always being offended. I've lost my place now when I got started on them, because that really bothers me. I thought you're a child of God. If you're a child of God, why are you always offended? You read it, they tell you how to get rid of it. Offense is a big thing. And the enemy knows that, so he'll just keep pushing that button and pushing that button until he destroys you. All right, so it said, you hit it hard, but it keeps coming back to you. It is time to conquer what is in front of you and put it away once and for all. God told Moses that the Egyptians he saw that day, he would see no more. When I know that, but when I read that, I got all excited. I shouted and everything else sitting at my desk. That's the thing that's bothering me. I'm not going to see it no more. I mean, right there, that thing that was bothering me, it was totally destroyed because God had already taken care of it. Amen. Come on. A lot of you need to do that. You need just to say, it's done. And move on. All right, God is saying the same thing to you today. Like Pharaoh, the devil that has been chasing you, tormenting you, and plaguing you will die today if you want it to. Will die today in Jesus' name. A lot of you sitting in here, you're so lustful you can't already stand yourself. Lust can die today if you really want to get rid of it. Because God's been dealing me with the lust and the perversions. You like it, and that's why you're not free of it. You are not dying to your flesh. You're not really crucifying that thing. Well, I'm just not going to watch TV, my perversion today. 10 minutes later, you're in there gulping it all down because you didn't mean it. The devil knew you didn't mean it, and he's just going to keep pulling you in that direction. Or it could be anything in your life. Eating, getting angry, anything. Whatever that thing is in you that he can use to keep you bound, he's going to keep pushing that button until you say, oh, nope, not going to do that no more. The battles are a blessing to bring spiritual maturity. It shames and defeats the devil at his own game. Let me read that again. John said, the battles are a blessing to bring spiritual maturity. It shames and defeats the devil at his own game. One thing I want to share with you that helped me through out the years, and I thank God for teaching me this in my spiritual warfare fights, is to have gratitude in the battlefield. Brandon Lake made a song, Gratitude, and I listened to it, and I really wasn't crazy about it, but you know, it's a top seller. I read that one little line, and I pulled up his song. That song meant a whole lot more to me, and I like it. You know, we have to have gratitude in the battles. Did you know he writes a whole lot of songs? Them songs he sings, he writes himself. He said when he was real young, somebody prophesied to him that he would write songs and travel, and he laughed because he didn't know how to write a song. But look what he's doing today, and look, and he's traveling. Yeah, but he was told that when he was young. All right, avoid these three things in your battle: murmuring, grumbling, and negative words. Hello. I don't know about you, but this talks about me here: murmuring, grumbling, and negative words. If you fall into doing these things, you will miss it all. Repent and get back to on track. I heard I did that too. The highest appreciation you can give God is not to utter words, but to live by them with a spirit of gratitude. How do you do this, John? How do you keep a spirit of gratitude in your darkest moments? John said, I'm glad you asked. I watch my words so I do not have a negative mindset or negative spirit and do not have a pity party. I watch my words so I do not have a negative mindset or negative spirit and do not have a pity party. Do you know how hard it is for a pastor to not do that? And then when you have a household of whatever, then you have to deal with that too. You think, dear Lord, have mercy. So, you know, we all go through it. It's what do we do with it? When the enemy looks as if he is winning, and this is John speaking, I do not open the spiritual doors to give him the opportunity to win. We really have to make sure we say, devil. You know, like I was telling my granddaughter, okay, so somebody sets a bottle of beer in front of you, you don't have to drink that, because that's the devil doing it. I say, devil, I'm not going there with that. If you have to, bust the thing, throw it in the trash. Turn around and walk away from it. You know what I'm saying? The devil, he knows what button to push, and he's going to always push the buttons. When the enemy looks as if... Oh, I'm sorry. Look at these words of Scripture in 1 Peter 5, 8, and 9. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the enemy of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. You know, when I get into pity party, God said, look, you're not the only one in the boat, so just straighten up. That's the way he says to me. And you know, and each one of you going through something, you think you're going the only one, you're not. There's a whole lot more out there going through the same thing you're going through, and you just need to get out of the pity party and buckle up, you know, and do the things that God's calling you for to do. Always remember the goodness of the Lord in the fire, the small victories, and the raindrops, is what John says. I read something, is God really, is he goodness all the time? Of course he is. So always remember the goodness of the Lord in the fire, the small victories, and the raindrops. When I go through my darkest times, I meditate on God's goodness in my life. I look at my spiritual resume. How many of you do that? Instead of giving in to all that junk, why don't you look at the good things God is doing for you? Look at the places where he's brought you out of, and you should have died. Start having gratitude and start remembering the good things that God has done for you. So what you're in is just another hurdle. And then when you get through with that one, then there's going to be another hurdle. He just never stops. But that's what following God is all about, one hurdle after another. Why? So you can bring others to Christ. So you have a testimony. I talk to myself about what looks like a defeat, but then it starts to turn around. Maybe some of us need to start talking to ourselves instead of our neighbor. It is like the sun bursting through the clouds. Look at this scene from David's life in 1 Samuel 36. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters, but David found strength in the Lord his God. As you see, when David was at his worst and lowest moment, he did something courageous. He remembered God's goodness in the battle. I'm telling you, because I live this, if you'll do that, you won't really have battles. You really won't have hard times, because you understand how good God is with you, and you understand how much he loves you. And even when you're going through a strong assignment, you get excited because this is how much God trusts you. You know, he thinks you're strong. He thinks you're wonderful. And he can trust you with this strong assignment because he knows you'll carry it through. Think about that. It is always the people closest to us that the devil will use. Amen. Thank you. You can all say amen again. Always remember that too. Build up your spiritual resume, John says. The life of Paul the Apostle is an amazing example of someone who, through hell or high water, built a spiritual warfare resume. Listen to this in 2 Corinthians 11:25. This is what Paul said. You guys make me sick. You know, just look what Paul went through. Your hangnail is killing you. All right, Paul said, 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. God called Paul. Paul didn't call God. Paul was living a wonderful life, killing the Christians, working for the Romans. God knocked him off his horse, said, I'm going to use you now. And this is what he went through. You want me to do what? You want me to give up an hour to pray? Come on. Just keep reading what Paul went through. When Paul was put in jail, he and Silas worshiped the Lord, and the jail doors opened. You know, I go through some of this junk too, and I have to smack myself up alongside the head, don't you? And get my attention. And say, what do you think you're doing here? You're giving the devil glory. Stop it. Just stop it, I say to myself. You know, and then I move on. But, you know, I could just sit there and wallow in that pity or whatever I'm wallowing in and never move anywhere. All right. Acts 16:25 says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundation of the prison were shaken. At once all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. Dear Lord, if you were in jail, you sure wouldn't think about praising. You'd be cursing God, leaving God. But Paul and Silas were in chains, being beat and everything else, and they praised the Father. Come on. We all come up short in this area. We are not praising God in the hard times. We only want to praise him in the good times. I know that some of you sitting in here, you're going to miss God, and then you're going to be, just like God said, if you don't get in the river now, and you'll be standing on the riverbank, and you want to get in, I won't let you get in. And then you're really going to curse God. You need to quit it right now. It's you that's a problem, not God. It's you that has to change your thought life. It's you that has to change your perversions or whatever it is. I'm talking to myself, too. Are you listening here? I'm just not talking to you. I could lose it all in a second if I didn't keep myself in line. I rant and rave, and then I have to go back and say, I'm sorry. To God. I'm sorry, God. I had to get that out. And then we move on. What do? Just keep it boiled up in there? And you just keep stewing and stewing and stewing? I've never in all my life seen people in the house of God always blame somebody else for what their problem. Come on, you little saint. You know, you are the problem, and you don't want to admit it, so you blame everybody else for what's going on in your life. You need to quit that, too. God can't use you if you're always going to blame somebody else. All right, wherever the enemy has incarcerated you, those doors are about to open now. Now, do you believe that today? Now, just as they did for the Apostle Paul and Brother Silas, you need to value who you are in Christ. You don't. A lot of people don't. It is time to grow and increase. Shame the enemy because God is with you. All right? Look into the devil's eyes head on and say, it is not what you throw at me, but what I do about it. He's going to throw everything he has at you because God told us that years ago. He's going to throw everything at you that he has in hell. Now, what are you going to do about it? Sometimes you just might want to sit and cry all by yourself. Then after you've done that, got that all out. And I'm not saying pity party. Sometimes you just feel like you can't deal with another thing. So you do like Jesus did. Jesus went to the mountain, right? So what we do is we go to the mountain, we go to Jesus and just talk to him. He knows already what you're thinking. Just talk to him and let him know what's going on. Then when you get that all off your chest, say, thank you, Father. And you move on. You know, why do you go to a psychiatrist? Good grief. All they do is take your money and keep you bound up because they want to keep you coming back. Why not go to Jesus? Come on. Jesus doesn't charge you anything and he sets you free. All right, strengthen your position in the spirit realm by the power of the Holy Spirit. Then repeat the scripture after me. Y'all can read it on the screen somewhere. Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Do you really believe that? No, you don't. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. When you get home, read Psalm 27, 1-3, and make it a part of you. Believe what you're reading. Trust the Father. He knows exactly what you have need of before you have need of it. All right, then John says, commit to agreement with God and repeat these prayer points. And you were passed out prayer points with me. We're not going to repeat them here. The devil and his demons will not be able to move you out of the position of strength. You will take ground back from the enemy. Get ready to open your mouth loud. It is time for war. Now these... You got the prayer points. You need to go home. You need to sit down with them. You need to go to the court. Tell God, I want the devil here too. I want him to hear what I'm getting ready to declare. And then declare it. And set yourself free. I'm going to tell you one thing right now, saints of God. You who yet have not decided to follow Jesus, I don't know if you ever have a chance again. Walking with Jesus is the best thing you could ever do. It's the best thing you could ever do. You know what I like about it? It's a constant war. you don't get to hear people say, I'm so bored. Well, get yourself saved. And then you'll never be bored, will you? You won't. You just won't. Yeah, well, I can't get out of perversion. If you really serve God, you won't want to watch perversion because the enemy's going to be fighting you tooth and nail about all everything else in your life. I'm not being funny. I'm being really serious. It is time the body of Christ gets it together. Whoever the body of Christ is anymore, I really don't know. But God told me he was shaking the remnant churches and he's shaking this church. And he said, I'm going to shake it down to a handful. When I get that handful, then I'm going to bring my glory. We were here with a handful the other night. And I really believe those are the ones he's going to use to bring the glory. Do you know how hard it's been to stay on this journey? It's been really hard, but yet it's been so exciting. to watch and see. You know, as I read, as I, you know, do this book, I said to Chris the other day, I said, this is all the stuff God's been telling us all these years, exactly what he has written in his book, just about word for word. And that excites me because this, I was not a child of Satan. I didn't serve Satan, but here's a man who serves Satan, and now he's serving Jesus, and he's saying the very same things that God's been telling me and you, if you're really walking with God, right? Do you know how exciting that is? You know, God is so good. And this man, I mean, I'm going to teach on again tonight, but he went through his pure hell to stay with Jesus. But I'm going to tell you one thing right now. He wouldn't leave Jesus for nothing. I mean, he had everything being the son of the devil. Not, you know, he was the top notch. But since he served Jesus, he's been having to fight the devil all these years. And it's everyday fight. Everyday fight. Everyday Job fight. You know, there's just no let up. But he wouldn't serve the devil for nothing. You know, once you leave the devil, he does do that to you. But you go to heaven. And, you know, he goes around holding seminars and things and set people free. And, well, he's being fought. And that's so wonderful. What are you all doing for God? What are you all doing for the world? These questions I want you to ask yourself. Are you really making yourself, you know, are you really making Jesus seen out there? Are you really making a difference to the world? Or are you like the world? You're supposed to be peculiar. In other words, you're not supposed to be just like the world. You young people shouldn't be dressing the way the world's dressing. You shouldn't be talking the way the world's talking. You should be different. And when people look at you, they'll say, what's different about you? I think that's the most wonderful thing anybody could ever say to you. What's different about you? You're not like other people. What is different about you? You want to stand out in the crowd? Receive Jesus. And you'll sure stand out in the crowd. Because you're going to be different. The altar is open this morning for all you who really and truly, from the very core of your heart, you want to serve God with all your might, and you want him to change you this morning. You've been playing around the fire, but now you want to get in the fire. You can come up the altar. You want to get into the fire. And you want to be a torch that God can use to redeem a lost and dying generation of people.